This is the second part of a message by David Ebal entitled Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage.
This is very important. Nearly all of our social order is based on phileo love, not agape. Let me see if I can explain it. Most people want people who are on welfare. I've heard it many, many times. Well, why don't they make them go to work? If they're on welfare, you know, have you heard this? If you're receiving welfare, then why don't they, you know, somebody's receiving welfare, well, surely they can put in 2 and 3 hours of work on some project every day or something like that and earn it. Well, you see, this is phileo. I'll meet your needs if you meet mine. You work, you get money. You don't work, you don't get money. Now, when we use the word charity, charity is a direct translation of the word agape. And the agape love means I will give you welfare day after day and week after week and month after month and year after year and expect you not to respond in any way. You don't have to work. You don't have to make any response. And you see this difference between phileo and agape. Now, it's because of that and the misunderstanding that a lot of people want folks who are on charity, agape, to work for it. Well, if you work for charity, it isn't charity. I'll say that again. If you work for charity, it's not charity, it's phileo. You can't take people who are on charity and put them to work because immediately it's not charity anymore. Charity means you're given to meet someone's need without a response. Phileo means that you're expecting a response back. Therefore, when someone goes to work, you do it usually out of phileo. If the boss quits giving you a paycheck, I bet you don't go to work. Because you expect a response. Most of our social things at church are based on responses. We'll have a church picnic. I'll bring the macaroni, you bring the cheese. For it's responsive. Everybody responds to the whole thing. Now, when you get right down to it, most church services, as much as we don't want to admit it, are still designed to cause a response in the soulish realm. The singing. Beautiful organ. Nice soloist. Pretty robes. Nice liturgy. Is all responsive and is designed to bring a response in the soul realm. You see what I'm driving at now? Now, if you could break your soul, crack your soul, and allow your spirit to respond instead of the soul. However, lots of us, especially in the Pentecostal realm, find that a certain song and a certain beat and hand clap really gets the people moving. We come into that through the Spirit. So next week, we make sure we sing the same song with the same beat and the same hand clap to get them moving again. And pretty soon, even the Pentecostal churches are programmed. Come on now. Not through the Spirit, but through the soul realm. And our programming is to meet the needs of the soul of the person. Now it's responsive, and it's based on phileo love. That's why someone does it. That's why someone will sing a song in the church without pay or, you know, that kind of thing, because it's based on a responsiveness and a responsive phileo love. You watch that soloist or that singer and see if they'll keep singing week after week if no one ever responds. If no one ever says, appreciated that, won't take too long for the performer to go along with the lip out, feeling bad. Well, I'm not going to sing that again. Nobody ever said they liked it at all. Why? For the performer is expecting a what? Response. Because the motivation was a phileo love. A responsive love. Is this making sense to you? Are you so quiet because you're thinking, or are you so quiet because you don't understand? Which is it? Are you thinking of people and situations in your life? That's why at the end of the service, usually, the pastor has one of the deacons or elders pray while he runs to the back of the church so that he can meet the people at the door. So that when everybody looks up, the platform is empty, the pastor's at back of the door, and he's checking for responses. He wants to give his love, his handshake, and he wants to receive love and a handshake, and he wants to hear comments and responses about the sermon. So what do you say? Oh, Pastor, that was a great sermon today. I really appreciated that. You really spoke to my heart, and it does his heart good, and he just feels good. See, for it's a responsive, or it's based on phileo. Now, don't misunderstand me. These things are necessary, and I'm not downgrading it at all. And I think you've got to we all understand this. That a responsive love is absolutely necessary. Now, in the home relationships, responsive love is absolutely necessary. We heard about a guy a while back. He was going to the marriage counselor, and he was just so unresponsive. And he thought, you know, and the marriage counselor said, well, you'll have to respond to your wife and tell her you appreciate her every once in a while. Said, now, next time she, you know, for breakfast or something like that, you tell her you appreciate the cooking and tell her you appreciate it and that you appreciate the meal. Says, well, I eat her cooking, don't I? He thought that was enough of a response. Well, I eat it. And that's not the kind of response that a woman is looking for. And vice versa, there's a responsiveness, you see. We all want to respond to a glance, and we respond to a touch. And we respond. We respond to each other. In the natural realm, in a marriage relationship, there is a very definite response. Without phileo response, there really is no marriage. However, there is another realm of love called agape. And in this realm, you love without expecting a response. You give without expecting anything in return. You bring the macaroni and the cheese. You play the piano and sing the solo and tell yourself how good it was. For agape love means that you meet the needs of others without any form of response. You don't demand response from others in any realm. You give and give and give and give and give and give in an agape relationship. Now, men, I'm going to be talking to the men, and then I'm going to be talking to the women. First, men, ladies, don't turn to this. You don't want to mark this. You don't want to know where this is. Just the men now. Turn to Ephesians 5. Okay. Yeah, I knew you would. That's why I said it. Yeah. I did that for the phileo relationship. I knew you'd respond. Okay. In Ephesians 5, 25, Ephesians. Have you got it? No. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Ephesians. Hurry up. Ephesians 5, excuse me, 5:25. Now, men, hold on to your seats tonight. This is going to be a little rough on the men. Husbands, agape your wives. Now I'm going to say that again. Husbands, give agape to your wife without expecting response. Oh, glory. Now, Now, the most shocking thing of this lesson is this.
Well, every time I kiss her, she kisses me back.
Well, that's all right, but you're not supposed to demand it. In the realm of men's love for their wives, now this, I've looked all over the Bible and I can't find any way out, men. Men have to agape their wives, and that means love their wives without expecting response. But women, when they love, they phileo. It's a shocker. There are a couple of guys here that say, man, that don't witness with me, brother. But you wait till we get through with this, and there's nothing I can do about this lesson. I mean, this is the way it came out. This is the way the ball bounced today, men. Men, the lesson, and I'm not stacking the cards up either. I looked. I tried to find a reversal of this process, and there is none. Men have got to agape women, and women get to phileo men. And it doesn't hardly seem fair, but that's the way it is, and that's what we're going to get to in a minute. And you might see why after a while. So here we go in Ephesians 5, and the husbands agape their wives, and that means love without expecting responsiveness. And most men want responsiveness. A sensual man wants responsiveness. A natural man wants responsiveness. But the scriptures teach the men to love agape without expecting responsiveness, and it says you're lucky if you get it. Or in other words, it doesn't demand that the woman respond here, only that the man give love. And whether you like it or not, fellas, this is the way it reads. Even as Christ also agaped the church and gave himself for it. So that means, men, you got to give yourself, even to the realm of death, for your wife. Then he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, this is a very important thing for it. The purging or the cleansing or the catharsis is identified here as the word, W-O-R-D. Then he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy, without blemish. So ought men to agape their wives as their own bodies. He that agapeth his wife loveth himself, because that's his flesh. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourish and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we're members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. They're going to be joined as one. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so agape his wife. So the next time you hear someone saying she doesn't respond, it means he hasn't read and doesn't understand that the man's job is to give without response. There'll be quite a few people who don't come back next week. I can see that right away. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so agape his wife, even as himself. Now here's one for the ladies. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. I'm going to get to this reverence in a minute. I'm not finished with the men, so I'm going to come back to the ladies. Okay. Now, I know this is hard on you, and I know this is a new thought, but I want you to see it. That men agape women. Men give themselves for women. In a general sense, we think in terms of a woman at home. A woman taking care of the children. And the man maybe out at sea. braving the winds and the waves to bring home a catch, or fighting lions if he's in Africa to bring home a deer, or who knows what, you see. But in a general thought here, the man is the one who presents himself to the dangerous situation to bring home to the home and the family a safe. Isn't that right now? Isn't that in general the way we think, that we think of the safety and security for the woman at home and the man going out putting his body into those dangerous situations so that they can have safety and security at home, giving up of himself? Yes, a family relationship working smooth will be one in which the man gives and 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 gives without response. Now, you ladies didn't have your tape recorders on, did you? Or you weren't listening? One more. Colossians 3. We'll come back to this in a minute if you want to keep your finger there. Now, Colossians 3, it's about three pages over to the right. Colossians 3. I'll start in 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. A submission. The wife submits. The husband agapes. The wife receives. Husbands, agape, here's a love again, and it's the same exact word, agape. I can't get around it. Every time you see it, husbands are always agaping their wives. And be not bitter against them. Somebody say amen, hallelujah, glory to God. Why, you know, why is it that, you know, you'd think that we'd have a glory spell on some of this tremendous teaching here tonight. Be not bitter. Be not bitter against them. That means that you agape. That means you give. She's the weaker vessel. You chose her. You made your own bed, now lie in it. It was your choice. Now, no matter how she is unresponsive. Oh, by the way, women, it says to submit. Yeah. And I'll get on the ladies now. The men have had enough. Go back to Ephesians 5 for a minute on this realm of women and men. And well, you knew that's what it was going to be about anyway, didn't you? Male and female, that's what the whole lesson's about. This is, you know, the Bible's got a lot on this. I'm in 33 now, 533. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so agape his wife, men, even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. The word reverence is phobia. And that means be terrified and afraid of.
Always.
Absolutely. Reverence. Oh, wait a minute, let me finish. Come on out. Reverence means to be terrified, to be frightened or afraid. It's a phobia. It's to have a fear. 63 times in the Bible, phobia is treated as fear. Or be afraid 25 times and reverence once. And it's right here, this particular time where it says reverence. Reverence your husband, here's what it means. Scared to death of him. Have a fear, be terrified, be afraid of your husband. Ladies, sorry about that, but you've got to take your share on this too now. The husband is the stronger vessel. The husband is the one who goes out and meets the wiles of the world. And he comes back. And when he comes back and sits or comes back to the home, you treat him like he's had a hard day. And you have reverent fear. Okay? get his slippers and his, well, we used to say pipe, but we can't say pipe anymore. But fix, huh? I said get his slippers out. We used to say pipe and slippers, but we can't say pipe anymore. Get out his pipe and slippers. But you, ladies, you treat your husband with a reverent fear and respect, because he's just liable to turn on you and let you have it for all the things that have occurred during the day. Huh? No, now watch this now. He has the strongest
body.
Physically, he's the superior. That's the reason he went... I know one lady that says, if you don't shut up, I'll feed you a knuckle sandwich. Now, come on and think in generalities with me now. Quit arguing. It says very clearly here that the husband agapes the wife if he's a spiritual man. If his soul is in subjection to his spirit, that means his body is in subjection. You see what I'm talking about? He's a spiritual man. But if he's not a spiritual man, ladies, you watch out. Just look out. And you know it's so, right?
Right.
Now, to tell you the truth, almost every man here is trying to be a spiritual man. He's more soulish than spiritual, almost every man here. Now, I'm not trying to downgrade any man, but that's the fact. We're trying to get spiritual. We're trying to overcome the soulish realm. So while trying to overcome that soulish realm, I point you ladies to verse 33. Reverence her husband, and that means have a terrified phobia, be afraid, or have a fear of your husband, and treat him as though his soul is in control instead of his spirit. You hear me? So don't be so wise or smart, because your spirit isn't in control most of the time either. It's most of the time your soul in your relationships. Come on now. Tell the truth. Hey, by the way, this is a good teaching whether you like it or not. Now. So men, as much as I would like to find a place where the men are to phileo the women, that means love a woman and expect a response every time it's agape a woman. However, women, turn to Titus chapter 2. This is about 12 or 15 pages to the right. Verse 4, Titus. Page 1223. Titus 2. It's right in front of Hebrews. Almost. Think you got it? Everybody got it now? Okay, you got it? Titus chapter 2, verse 4. That the old women may teach the young women to be sober. Stay off the bottle, ladies. You young women, you got to be sober. You old ladies aren't given to much wine. Verse above it there. Let's don't get on that now. Let's just say sober, to love their children and to phileo their husbands and phileo their children. Every time that the women are told in relationship of loving, it's a phileo love. So women phileo their husbands, but men agape their wives. And that sure doesn't seem right at first glance. But if you'll analyze it, you'll see that it was God who made the man in charge. It was God who created man in the first place. Now, God said to man, not woman, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God says to men, I make you the priest of the house, not the woman. God gives his commands to the men, and the women respond by obeying the in the spirit realm. You see what I'm talking about? That's the way things should be. And if men were spiritual, receiving from God the commands of God, men could easily agape their wives, and women could easily phileo their husbands. But things don't work that way. They had a hard time with those things back then. Now look here in verse 4, verse 5. To be, now this is women, discreet and chaste, and keepers at what?
Home.
Home. Now I'm going to come back to that home thing in just a minute, and you'll see what the trouble is nowadays. Good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, these rules were given to a society in which the women were at home. They didn't go out. And if they went out, they went dressed looking like a tent. And you had no idea if they had a shape or not. You didn't know whether they were 19 or 90. You see what I'm driving at here? But now we're in a completely different form of society. And it's very obvious that a woman's a woman. Because they're not intense. And you don't have to look but just a quick glance to see and a shape and know that a woman is a woman. And not only that, but back then, women received all, I mean all, of their soul mating from their husbands. Now it's going to get real sensitive here in a minute. Back then, the only person a woman could talk to was her husband. That's why they were told to ask their husbands at home about the questions and all the rest of the things. Women didn't talk to anybody else except maybe some women, you know, at the well or some, in this realm. But surely not to other men. And those who have gone through those countries know, I mean, we saw the way they did. And the society is completely different. It's hard for us to comprehend what's going on. Now I'm going to talk about, we've talked about mating in the body, that's your one flesh thing. We've talked mating in the spirit, that's with God. Now what's left? Soul. And we're going to discuss mating in soul realm and find out how it is that when women are not at home, how things begin to get off kilter and things go wrong. In the soul realm, their soul responds to these things. Now, you can copy it if you want, but I'd rather you didn't, because I want you to hear me. I want you to listen to me. Later on, copy these. The soul, or if you can copy and listen, why, go ahead. If you have that ability, go ahead.
This teaching by David E. Ball, entitled Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage, will continue on cassette number 2.